Welcome, welcome to episode 2 of the Uncommon Podcast with Shanette Sparks. Our podcast, we just talk about life focused around faith and truth. It's our goal that this podcast challenges you to live an uncommon life, to be legendary, and to make an impact on this world today. So today, our topic is going to be about walking by faith and living by faith and what that truly means. How we start out every podcast, we start with a quote. Our quote for today is from Martin Luther. It says, "Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. And I'll read it again. It's the quote of the day by Martin Luther. "Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. So who was Martin Luther? I know most of you probably heard about him in your religion class growing up. Martin Luther was a German theologian. He was known for the 95 Theses in the Protestant Reformation. He used to be a monk, and then he transitioned through his years from being a monk to just being a Protestant, we would say, teacher or preacher of the gospel. He was really upset with the Catholic Church and how they were doing church in that time. So he nailed what they called the 95 Theses to the door of the Catholic Church. And then that's where we got a lot of the Protestant religions from, how we eventually had the colonists flee their nation for religious freedoms to come to the United States and create this great nation. But he was a man who stood for what was right. When he saw things that he felt were against the church, the Bible, actually, he was a man who stood up for those things. You know, he would go and have debates because that's what they did at that time. You know, whenever there was an issue, they would get all the religious leaders together and they would debate that topic. So Martin Luther, as his name sounds so familiar, you have different denominations of Christianity that have come from him, a lot with the Lutheran traditions. So he's a great man to go research and really get to know. And even just from the things, the changes that he brought to the church and how even today we're still greatly, greatly affected by a lot of things Martin Luther did. And so, like, he's a cool guy to know about. I told you guys in the first podcast, I love history. You know, I'm a homeschool mom. My major when I was in college was political science. So I've always loved history and nature. So on this podcast, you'll see a little bit of that sprinkled here and there. And it says here that Martin Luther is surely one of the most influential figures in Western civilization during this last millennium, that he was the catalyst for the division of Western Christianity into several churches, and he helped leave a legacy in many cultures. So that's pretty cool. So today we're talking about what it is to live and walk by faith. What it is to walk by faith. We talked about it last episode, how faith is a vital part of your life. Faith is honestly one of the most vital catalysts in your life to do anything. Without faith in God, I don't believe that many things can be accomplished. So in order for us to be legendary, uncommon people, we must live a faith-filled life. I was even reading in a book about Colonel Sanders. how at some point Colonel Sanders, the guy who made KFC, at some point in his life, he had an encounter with Jesus that marked him through praying and fasting. And he actually became KFC, the guy that we know today, and the owner and millionaire of a whole chicken brand. So I just found it's interesting when I read these different books about people, or I find out about history of people who are uncommon, who are legendary. Most of them have some encounter with Jesus in faith and really blossoming and blooming into the person that they were created to be, to make the impact they made here on this earth. So faith is vital in not only living in a common life, but also making a legendary impact. So let's define faith. Faith, according to Oxford Dictionary, is the complete trust in someone or something. And Webster says it's a strong allegiance to something. They referred to it as loyalty. Faith as a verb means to believe or to trust. For us as Christians, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. So the substance of things hoped for. So substance, when you say substance, what comes to mind? Substance, what comes to mind? So as we just think about the word substance, what comes to mind? For me, substance is the quality of something, you know, what makes up that thing or that person. And by definition, Oxford says that it's the most important or essential part of something, the real or the essential meaning of that. So let's see what other definitions do they have for substance. Webster Dictionary says it's the essence or the fundamental characteristics or quality of something. So our faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's the fundamental, it's the care, it's the quality of what we're hoping in and what we're hoping for. It's what makes up that thing. Next, it says the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. So substance is the quality. And so let's go to the evidence. Evidence, by definition, is anything that can be used to prove something or disprove it. So when we think about faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. So we have a hope. We have a fundamental belief. We have a fundamental knowledge, a fundamental grasp that we're hoping in something. And the evidence is the proof. So in this hope, it provides the substance, which is the quality of the character, the quality that we need to have proof in something we haven't seen. And the thing that we haven't seen by the in the context of the Bible is God. You know, people live with Jesus for a time period, 33 years on earth. But when they talk about having faith in God, in Jesus, it's because we as believers, most of us have not seen him. So that's the faith. That's the substance of what we're hoping in. And I found it so interesting that when you break down faith and you even just break down it from the definition of the words given from that scripture in Hebrew 11, that we see that true faith is the hope, but it's the quality in what we're hoping in. And for me, it's the quality of who we're hoping in. God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of all creation, created the universe, the stars, the sun, the moon. So that foundation and understanding who God is tells me the quality in who I'm hoping in, the quality of who my faith is in. And so it's vital. It's so important for us to talk about that today. In order to truly walk in faith and live by faith, you have to know who your faith is in. Who are you relying on? Who do you put your trust into when situations get bad? When you have no one to turn to? Who do you believe has blessed you with a family, a husband, a job, a wife? Who do you believe has given you these things? Do you think it was because of your good looks or all the things that you've accomplished, or because you're just so smart? Or do you understand that our gracious God, who created this beautiful earth, saw fit to create you, but then saw fit to create everything that he wanted to connect to you? We must be convinced that God is who he says he is. I believe personally that a lot of people struggle with that convincing and that conviction of who God is, because we either have a distorted view of who God is, which then blocks us from truly knowing God, or we have a minimalistic view of who God is. So the distorted view usually comes from how, in my opinion, how we see God portrayed in entertainment or on TV or in books, or how people talk about God. You know, when I was growing up, I kind of saw God as like, oh, God was like a punisher. Anything you did bad, he's going to, lightning was going to come down through the ceiling and strike you dead. Or if you did this, he was going to punish you. And all this stuff was happening because God was mad. People used to say that. Oh, hurricanes, this happening because God is mad. And then when you read some of the Old Testament stories, you read that, you know, God sent down his wrath. God did this and swallowed up this. So it was really easy to have a delusion about who God was because how he was being portrayed by the world. Or people have a minimalistic view of God, where God is only this big. He can only handle this situation. So God may be able to help me get a job, but I don't know if he can heal me. Or maybe he can heal me, but I don't know if he can help my child get off drugs. I don't know if he can help my family member deal with mental illness. So we have faith in one area, but then we minimize God in another area. Because in my opinion, do we really have faith? If faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen, and we only have faith for the things that we see and that we can kind of see where we're going or how we're getting there, do we truly have faith in God? Are we truly walking by faith or living by faith? Or are those just nice things to say, you know, put on our shirts or our hats? And I believe that's why, since the beginning of time, the main thing that the devil tries to do is attack our faith and leave us doubting. Because he even knows the power of faith. But do we? Do we really believe that we can have a legendary impact? That we can live an uncommon life and really leave a legacy on this earth of good, a positive legacy that will impact generations to come. Do we truly believe, you know, we can be a millionaire? We can write a, we can write that book. We can graduate from that school. We can go back and get this certificate, no matter how old we are, and to start a new career. Do we truly believe these things? That God can make these things possible? And that's why to really walk out and live in faith, you have to understand who you have faith in. You got to understand that true faith in understanding God and his character and his nature and who he is. It's not just about reading stories in the Bible. They help you because they help you get to know God. But do you believe in God's character? Do you believe that God is who he says he is? In Deuteronomy 32:4, God says, I am the rock. I am perfect. He is a God of truth and without injustice. You see, true faith in living and walking in faith is believing in who God is and then responding in a way that shows you believe that. Think about it. If I have belief that like we talked about in episode one with natural faith, that when I put the pan or put the noodles in the water in the microwave for a certain time, they're going to come out well done. If I operate in that much easy natural faith easily, why is it so hard for me to operate in spiritual faith with God that easily? If we read the story, the Bible, we know how it's going to end. We know God has the victory. We know that he can supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. We see countless accounts of him in the Bible, throughout history, throughout our own life, coming through over and over and over again. Why is it the next time a challenge arrives, we second guess God, but we don't second guess putting those noodles in the microwave? And I think that's because we've grown up in some instance with a distorted view of God. Like we just talked about in those, either we have a delusion or we minimize God. So I like to say that means we truly have compartmentalized God. Where in this compartment of our life, he can have access. He can work in great measures, but I don't know about this one. We even are like that when it comes to people. If we're honest, well, God, I know you helped me with this friendship, but I don't know about that one. She's a little rough around the edges. But we have to also remember when we was rough around the edges. And when God took that sander out, he did his good work. And I found this cool, this quote I read from this pastor. He says, when your eye is right, it always responds to the light. When your ear is right, it responds to sound. When your heart is right, it responds to God. And that response is called faith. Faith is heart's response to God. So how is your heart responding to God today? Do you believe that he can do the impossible in your life? Get you through impossible moments? You know, I remember when I was a kid growing up, my mom had been divorced. So we used to go through, now my mom's a single mom raising three kids. My mom never missed a beat. She would go to work. If she was struggling with anything, most of the time we wouldn't know. But one thing I do remember her always saying, oh, God gonna make a way. Oh, I'm gonna go preach here and God gonna give me the money. It's like she knew in advance what God was already going to take care of. She didn't worry, or if she did, we never knew, because her and God took care of it. We never missed a meal. We never missed anything. Lights never went off because when my mama said God was going to take care of it, we didn't have to worry because we knew he would, because he did it time and time again. And I think that's why the Bible encourages us to have childlike faith. The older we get, we become too logical. We overthink things and we get in the way of just faith. Because faith doesn't take logic. It just takes you taking a risk. Faith doesn't need our understanding or us to rationalize it. Faith actually needs the exact opposite, just for us to trust. Faith is not a hypothesis or a theory that needs to be proven. It's already been proven over 2,000 years ago. Faith just needs us to believe in it, to believe in God's promises, to believe that God has made a way out for us from sin, from hell, from death, that we don't have to live a lifestyle or live a way that keeps us in bondage or keeps us shackled to things that are unhealthy or not good for us. I even just think about being a basketball player, Division I basketball player. The more I exercised, the more I worked out, the more I worked on something as simple as my free throws, the better I got at shooting free throws. Simple concept. We learn it even in school. You know, they give you homework. And when you're young, like, why they give me homework? But it's to discipline you. But it's also to make sure you pick up, you retain whatever skill or point that was being taught that day. You keep it. You keep exercising. You keep doing it. So why don't we apply that same idea or that same concept when it comes to being a Christian? When it comes to competing in this race called life for the kingdom of God? When we pick up the word, it's like practicing that free throw shot, standing up to the line, bouncing that ball and waiting for it to go in. When we worship, it's like running them sprints. It's getting your stamina up. It's getting your fighting capabilities up. It's strengthening you for battle. When we pray, we're putting on the armor of God. That's learning to play. Part of learning the playbook is praying. And if we take all these things and we can operate in them in faith, imagine what God can do with us. Imagine how legendary or how uncommon he can make us to use us for everybody else around us. When I played sports, I loved to work on my shot and stuff. It was never because of me. Never because I wanted to be the best player or any of that. It was because I wanted my team to win. Anybody know me? I'm a team person. Other people are not. I want everybody to have a role on the team, to do their best in that role, and we're going to all win together. And that's how we should be in the body of Christ. But it takes faith. Us truly believing in God, in his promises, that he will supply all our needs. That all things will work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called to his purpose, Romans 8:28. God's promises flow out of his character and his nature. He always speaks truth. He always speaks about the good. He can't lie to us. So in this promise, it's in his truths that we learn. We must also live from those places. We must believe that God has saved us from our sin, so we no longer have to live in sin. We must believe that God has a hope in the future for us to prosper. So when trials arise, we don't blame God for those things. We must believe that God will meet all our needs, even when things get tight. Even when that money start acting a little funny, how they say. Because our beliefs and our confessions and our declarations are what sets up our future. We must believe that God's going to transform that person, heal that person, deliver that person. Because think about it. We keep saying, she's such a fool. I can't believe she acts so stupid. This is what you say about the person all the time. And then you wonder why they still acting stupid. Just think about what our confessions have been over that person. So what I had to start to do about people, I start changing what I say about them. And if I can't say nothing nice about them out loud, I just say, Lord, help. Because for one, he got to help them or he got to help me. But I realized they also helped me start speaking positive things for them people. Because who knows? I might be the only one praying that to God or speaking it in the atmosphere. Because our words do have power. Faith sees the invisible and believes in the incredible, but receives the impossible. Let me repeat that again. Faith sees the invisible, believes in the incredible, and receives the impossible. So as we have faith, we believe in God. We know he's invisible, but he's with us. His spirit is in us. We believe in the incredible. We believe that things can be done that will literally be beyond our imagination. We believe in the incredible. Just look at the formation of the universe and the world. We believe in the beauty. We believe in the magnificent wonders that God has created and is still creating. And faith receives the impossible. My faith in God makes it possible for him to do all things in my life. So not until you really start believing that way can you receive and see things that way as well. So in order to live by faith, we just talked about it. We really got to know who our faith is in. Spend some time, you know, rounding out the rest of the year into the new year, just focusing on who God is in his character and his promises. You know, what does God say about me? There's over 50 plus promises of God that God has for us in the Bible. Some things you may have heard it, that God will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you with his righteous hand. All of them are promises he gives us when he says, do not fear. He promised to keep us in perfect peace, whose minds are steadfast in him because they trust in him. So that's why it's important to know these promises, because a lot of these promises are like they have conditions around them. God keep you in perfect peace, but that's whose mind is steadfast on him. So if you wonder why your mind all loopy or jacked up, but you ain't been steadfast on the Lord, that's the remedy to your problem right there. Okay, God, give me more time, the ability to spend more time with you. Spend more time with you in your word. The Bible even says that God is close to the brokenhearted. He says here in Psalms 32:8, that he will instruct you. He will teach you the way you should go. He will counsel you with his loving eye. But in order for God to teach us, we have to be willing to learn. So I love reading these promises because it gives me a deeper revelation of who God is. And in any relationship that you're trying to go deeper with somebody, you want to get to know the person. Before you get married, why you get married? You're still getting to know the person. As a mom, I'm getting to know my children as they grow. My spiritual children, I get to know them as they grow. They get to know me in different phases of our life. Because any healthy, good relationship, people are you're constantly growing. God never changes. So the best thing for us, the beautiful thing is all we have to do is spend time getting to know him more and more and getting a deeper revelation of him. And I think that's really cool to me that, you know, God allows us to get all these deep revelations of who he is. You know, I can read the Bible, read a story today and read it 10 years from now. And God can show me so many other things about who he is and in his nature. Point number two on what it takes to walk by faith. What it takes to walk by faith is it takes you understanding your position. So point one, it takes you understanding who you have faith in. Point two is in order for you to walk by faith and live by faith, you must understand your position. What does that mean? What does that mean? Shanette, what do you mean understand my position? I have a position? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And for someone like me, this was great when I found out that I too have a position. I have a role to play. You know, I have a piece in the puzzle in the kingdom of God. In Ephesians 4, in Ephesians, it talks about the body of Christ, how we all have a part to play in the body. And as we unite and come together, we help build one another up. You know, it's great to know that I have a piece to play, a part to play. But it's even more important for you to know that no part is more significant than the other part. So we can't compare ourselves to each other. We can't be jealous. We can't be envious because every part is just as valuable as the other part. I like to reference sports a lot. I played basketball. I played volleyball and I've done track. And even running track in an individualized sports, you need all the track runners' points in order to win championships. So the team, you can win the individual medal, but in order to win any of the team medals, it's based on all the points that your athletes come together and you add them up. That's how you win the team medals when you're talking about district, states for an individual sport like track. So just like on the team, everyone has their own role and everyone has a value. And without the point guard, without the center, without the coaches, the team won't be successful. And I believe that a big part of teams also having success is when the person not only knows their role, but they buy into it. You know, they really committed to being the best them in whatever that role, you know, whether that's the point guard, whether that's the shooting guard. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. You know, as we understand who we are and we understand our role, but also as we understand that we are to dominate that role, we are to, you know, do work as the Bible says, any work we do, we must do it as unto the Lord. So that's everything we do, we must do with a spirit of excellence. But I think that also requires of us understanding that God has given us dominion and authority and power. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So even just reading that scripture alone, like This is Jesus talking to the disciples. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And when we just hear that scripture, I know me personally, just hearing that scripture, it gets me excited. It gets me fired up to know, okay, no scorpion, no snake. Like, God has given me authority over all these things. And I liked how they used, of course, scorpions and snakes were animals that at that time that, well, they still dangerous now, so I don't know why I said that time, but they're animals that most people are scared of in some way. Like snakes and spiders are like the things people always, you know, in movies, they always use to scare people. But when we understand as humans that we have a certain authority over them, that they can't really harm us unless we're being reckless, I believe that's the same way God need want us to see in life. As long as we're in line with what God is telling us, that we have faith, we're doing things out of the right heart posture, that nothing can truly harm us. I think about the story of Job. Job was a great man, had great wealth, the wealthiest person in his day. He had cattle, he had a big family, and the devil literally went to God and asked him, like, who should I try? Who should I test? And God said, have you tried my servant Job? And the devil, you know, he a tornado hit. They destroyed his whole house. Eventually, Job, all his children got killed. And then eventually, even himself became sick. But because Job knew who his faith was in, God, but also knew that God had given him dominion and authority, Job never wavered on his respect, his love, the way he honored God, despite the trials that he was directly being put through, despite losing everything, despite getting this health, these boils on his skin that literally were like so irritating and burning and hurting, despite even his friends encouraging him to go against God, he never did. Because I believe he understand the trueness of his authority and his power. Not only in our good times, but even in our bad times, we must still understand that we have the authority, we have the power, we have dominion over this situation, over this circumstance, over any trick or attack the enemy tries to send our way. We already have the victory in Christ Jesus. But we also need to know, with that authority and that dominion, where is our source? Who are we plugged into? Who are we relying in? And if we're relying on Jesus and God and God's hope, then nothing is going to harm us. Then we can overcome, like that scripture says, all powers, not some. It says all powers that we can overcome of the enemy. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creature on the earth. And just think about that. God gave us dominion and power over every creature. He gave us so much power that he gave Adam the power to name them and choose what their name was going to be. And we still call them names to this day. Just think about it. Even as parents, he gives us the power to name our kids. So just imagine how much dominion, power, and authority gave us the power to cast demons out, to heal the sick, gave us the power to overcome poverty. He gave us dominion over all these things just because we are his children. Just because we say yes to Jesus being in our heart. So just think about that. That God has given me and you that power. The same power that he gave Jesus. And Jesus says he actually gave us more power and greater power because we are to do greater works. So what are you doing with that power? What are you doing with your dominion, your authority? Are you using it to sit on your couch and have pity parties? Or sit on your couch and just complain about everything? or sit on your couch and do woe is me? Or are you going to use that power and authority to say, okay, I'm a child of God. I was created to overcome. I'm created to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So I can get through this tough moment. I can get through this health thing. I can get through this unforgiveness or bitterness in my heart. I can get through this tough situation where this person is portraying me in a bad way to other people, because I know it's only temporary. Because if God already have victory and my faith and hope is in that promise, then in any situation that I go through that is unpeaceful, that's uncomfortable, that's really causing me some despair, I know it's only temporary. The Bible says joy comes in the morning. After the rain, there's always sunshine. That's an old school song they used to sing. So when we think about these things and we have faith and we understand our dominion and our authority, then we truly become ambassadors of Christ in our life. We truly walk by faith, live by faith. Because faith is just not how we respond in only the good moments. It's also how we respond when things are looking kind of glim. Are you still joyful? Are you still hopeful? Do you still see, like they say, the silver lining? Some people say, for me, I'm very optimistic because I always try to see the good in situations. I also believe that's faith, that's God. I also believe that some of that's my problem-solving nature. That at the end of the day, if it's a problem, we just need to solve it. Can't really keep dwelling on the problem. Ephesians 1:21 says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above everything that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That's the kind of power God has given us. The power to change environments, to bring hope to the hopeless, to give life to those who are lifeless. But to walk out that, we have to understand the dominion and the authority that we carry as individuals. Yes, you need a pastor. Yes, we need to go to church to be in fellowship. But we don't need a pastor to be praying about us for everything. We can pray for ourselves. The Bible says that we have a direct line of communication with God. But that fear, like we talked about in last episode, can really have you so bound that you don't even think that you could pray for yourself. So I just hope today that just this short talk on what walking by faith and living by faith is like, that it challenges you to really say, okay, have I been living by faith? Do I need to get to know God more? Do I need to spend time getting to know the power and the authority that he's given me as his son or daughter? Do I understand that I serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that there's no other God, living God, that all the other gods, Muhammad, Buddha, all 179 of them, and all these other world practicing religions that believe in all these small g's, that none of these gods compare to God, our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That none of them compare to Jehovah, to Yahweh, to Jesus Christ, to Emmanuel. None of them compare to him. See, when we truly understand these things, it makes it easier for us to live on faith, live by faith, and to live out faith. Because like we said last episode, faith is just not what I think. It compels us to act a certain way. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. So if God has given us dominion over all these things, and all he's asking us to do is acknowledge him, this makes the road, this makes this journey a lot easier. It should take a load off you, because I know it took a load off me. So I just hope that you were encouraged that walking by faith means actually not needing to understand much, but truly who God is, and understanding the dominion and power and authority that he's given you. I challenge you to pray about that. God, reveal to me more of who you are and your character and your nature. God, reveal to me more of who I am. You know, the last 2 years, a lot of things been going on in the world, and just even with people, with churches, with different stuff. And so I was just praying and asking God, you know, what is going on? And he told me that I'm showing people who they're made of and what they're made of. Who and what they're made of. And that's everybody. He's revealing. Are you really the woman or man of God you say you are? Are you really standing on these truths and these principles? Are you really made of faith? Are you made of substance? Are you made of integrity? Are you trustworthy? Are you honest? Or are you something else? Counterfeit, or somebody that's not genuine. And it's a difference between somebody who God is working on their character, developing them, or somebody who plays games and appears one way, but okay, who plays a game by appearing one way, but okay with being another way. That's totally different. We all, God's still working on all of us at certain points with certain things. But you can't be fake and disingenuous and not authentic, because God can't help that. But are you really who you say you are? So in this discussion on living by faith, I want you to ask and pray about that and ask God, look in the mirror, say, God, am I this person, this woman of faith, of integrity, of character? And if I'm not, if I got some areas that you need to weed out of my attitude, or maybe I just think I'm too good to do certain things, this is what you need to reveal to me. And allow God to reveal it, but also you do the work you need to do to change it. Because the true essence of faith being in your life is also how you respond to it, but how it transforms you. My response, how I respond in faith today is different from how I responded in faith when I was a little girl, and how I'm going to respond in faith in the future. God is not going to change. But as I grow with God, my faith and my courage, all of that should grow in him. As I see God perform miracles in my life, as I'm blessed bigger than I can imagine, all of that increases my faith and my gift of faith in God. Even when I get through those tough moments, even when I'm in a tough moment and I get over it, all of that is increasing my faith in God. It's letting me understand the power that God has given me so I can walk this thing out. So let's wrap up today. Our affirmation and declaration is pretty simple. Today's affirmation is, I will love deeply and act courageously. I will love deeply and act courageously. I will love deeply and act courageously. And I gave us this declaration because I believe that true faith compels us to love deeply and act courageously. we will love God deeply, we love ourselves deeply, and we eventually form a love for others that's deep, that's past what we see on the surface, past what we know about them in the physical, and we start to really truly see them how God sees them. And then we act courageously. We do things we never done before. You know, we step out in faith in areas that God has been challenging us for years. We forgive that person. We pray for that person. We speak to that person in the grocery store. You know, we start a podcast. We write a book. We begin to act courageously because we know that it's not relying on us. We're relying on God. So I hope you're blessed today and you're challenging. I'd like to thank you again for joining me on episode 2 of the Uncommon Podcast. Feel free to follow me on all my social media sites. This podcast will be uploaded on Spotify, Apple, and it also, you can see the video version on YouTube. My social medias are Shenette Sparks, S-H-E-N-N-E-T-T-E. Sparks, S-P-A-R-K-E-S. For those of you listening on audio, if you're watching on video, you'll see it down here at the bottom. And I just hope you have a blessed and beautiful week and be challenged to live by faith.